Rabbi Hafner.
Hey, good morning, boys. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Siva Chasima Tova. It's very exciting to be able to reconvene our weekly Erev Shabbos program, getting together to share Divrei Torah, the entire yeshiva together with the Rabbeim. And particularly this week, as it is not only Erev Shabbos, Parshas Nitzavim, but it is, of course, also the last day that we're together before the beginning of the Yom Noraim, as we anxiously await the onset of Rosh Hashanah for the coming year. And with the onset of Rosh Hashanah, I'd like to ask the following question, particularly to boys, high school boys. Do you ever get the feeling that this tshuva season is a bit much to handle? Do you ever get the sense, starting with L'David Hashem Ori, Tkiya Shofar, and Rosh Chodesh, of Elul, the Slichos, getting up early, staying up late, the length of your davening, it's a lot. And we haven't even gotten to Rosh Hashanah, or the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Yom Kippur. There's really a lot on the line. There's a lot of expectation. It's very taxing. Anybody ever feel that way? It seems to me that there are two distinct elements that make this period of time, this process of doing tshuva, feel somewhat overwhelming. First of all, when we look at everything that's involved, it's too overwhelming. There's too much at stake. Too many aspects, too many responsibilities, too many parts of our personality, of our character that we have to look at. It's too all-encompassing. And second of all, this period is too long. It just takes too much time. Going back to Rosh Chodesh Elul, all the way through the end of Yom Kippur, 40 days, it's a long time. It's a long time that we're involved in this so-called tshuva process. It's a long time to be focused on such a serious matter. And it's hard for us. Let me cite a couple of examples that demonstrate, that I think prove this point. It's a bit much for us. It's hard to handle. And some of these examples I heard in a shir that was given by Rav Azariah Berzon, that I heard recorded in a shir I listened to in YU Torah. There's a Mishnah in Avos, which is attributed in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. B'shem Rabbi Eliezer, it is taught, V'shuv yom echad lifnei misasecha, that a person should repent, should return to tshuva one day before he dies. Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Eliezer. So the students, the Talmidim, ask Rabbi Eliezer, V'chi Adam Yodeya Be'eze Yom Yamuz. Can a person know on which day he's going to die? How can you teach us that you should do tshuva the day before you die? Who knows when you're going to die? How do we know when it's happening? We don't know when to expect it. So how can you do tshuva the day before you die? Answers Rabbi Eliezer, V'kol shekein, you're proving my point. Yashuv hayom, shema yamos lemachar, v'nimsa kol yamav b'tshuva. So you better do tshuva today. Every single day might very well be the day before you die. And therefore, you better do tshuva today, lest it be your last one on this earth. And that way you'll find that you're busy doing tshuva every single day. Every day is tshuva season. It's getting worse. It's not just from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. Not just now, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that it has to be on our minds. It's every single day, all year long. It's even harder than we thought a few minutes ago. A very different notion, I might add, than the pagan concept. You may have heard the Mardi Gras. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. But let's build up to the day of death. Let's enjoy it now, because who knows what tomorrow may bring. Rabbi Elazar's concept is no, let's be very serious. Let's be very, very contemplative. Let's look back on maybe putting ourselves in a better light because tomorrow we may die. It's kind of depressing. It's making me feel low. It's making me feel down. It's taking away my energy. I can imagine that some of you are feeling the same way. So if I'm depressing you just a little bit, let me work a little harder and depress you a little bit more. Shlomo HaMelech, in his wisdom, King Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, in Sefer Mishlei, wrote, "B'chol eis yiyu b'godecha levanim v'shemen al roshecha." At all times, your clothing should be white and there should be oil on your head, says Rashi. What's with the begodim levanim? Why are you wearing white clothes? Mipnei she'eni odeya b'eze yom yamus. Says Rashi, you don't know when you're going to die. And the white clothing is actually meant to be a mashal, meant to be a parable. You see, we need to do tshuva daily so that our neshama will be pure and it will be clean, b'choleis, at all times, every single day. So it's always got to be on our minds. It always has to be the way we dress. We have to cloak our soul in purity and white clothing. We always have to be ready for that day of judgment, for that Yom HaMisa. We always have to be looking as good as possible, as clean, as pure as possible. It's always on our minds. It's a heavy thought. One more example. The Igeres HaRamban. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Igeres HaRamban. The Ramban left Spain, he traveled to the land of Israel, he was his whole life dying to go to Eretz Yisrael. Finally, he had an opportunity, he was actually forced to leave Spain for another time, we'll talk about that. And he left behind a letter of instructions to his children, the famous pasuk, it begins, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, V'al titosh Torah Simecha. So in this letter of instruction that he leaves with his children, he writes, U'tifashfesh b'ma'asecha b'aboker u'va'arev, Uvazeh yiyu kol yomecha b'tshuva. And you shall investigate, you shall search out in your actions every morning and evening, and in that way, every day, excuse me, you'll be involved in tshuva. The message of the Ramban is clear. We are obligated constantly to do pishpush, to investigate our actions, to make sure that we are always holding true to the Torah standards, Kol Yomecha, all the time, every day. And so, boys, we go back to where we started. It's challenging. It's overwhelming. A constant pishpush. All day, every day, in all aspects of life, every part of my personality. Really? Is that what's expected of me? It was hard enough before we started the shmooze, thinking that it was all of Chodesh Elul. It was a week of Slichos so far. We're going into the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That was enough to contemplate. And only now we're discovering that it was an even greater burden, an even greater responsibility. And here we are in high school, the first week of the year, just getting used to getting back to classes. And we're discovering that we have to constantly be in this mode of tshuva, of self-reflection, of contemplation, white clothes. How's my purity? How's my soul looking? I'm 16 years old. Give me a break, Rabbi. It's too much. So I'm here to tell you today, boys, that if you're feeling this way, relax. Take a chill. The first thing I want to tell you is that tshuva is a process. Tshuva is a process. It takes time. It takes many steps. And you are not expected to have instant results. We live in a world that people expect instant results, instant reaction time. I remember, seems like a long time ago already, the first computer I had, the first time I had internet access from my house, we had a modem, a dial-up modem. You guys ever hear of a dial-up modem? You read about it in history books, right? I remember the dial-up modem in my house. It's like you dial up, you hear this funny noise, I'd go upstairs and make a sandwich, and by the time I came back down to my office, maybe by then it would be loaded up. And today, if the little circle, when you hit send, if the little circle goes around more than twice, oh man, what's wrong with this? Everything is instant. You hit send, boom. Tshuva does not demand instant results. It's a process. It takes time. And furthermore, perfection is not a prerequisite. We don't have to be perfect in our behavior. It's not expected of us. And when we try to atone for mistakes, when we try to overcome our shortcomings, we're not expected to always be perfect. We do the best that we can. How do I know this? Where do I come off standing here saying, oh, the Torah doesn't expect you to be perfect. You don't have to follow every mitzvah just the way it was written. It's not me. I didn't say this myself. I don't make it up. I read it somewhere. Where did I read it? In Parshas Nitzavim, this week's Parsha. If you'll take the time to look at Perek Lamed, chapter 30 in Sefer Devarim, go to, let's say, Revi, Shani, if the Parshiot are together, but it's really the middle, the 21st sentence in this week's Parsha. And the Torah tells us, V'hayachi yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ela ha'bracha v'ha'klala asher nosati lefanecha. And when all these things, we've been talking about the klala, the tochacha, the good things that are going to happen, the bad things are going to happen, if you listen, if you don't listen. Moshe has been giving for the last couple of weeks. We've been reading the speech that Moshe Rabbeinu made to the Jewish people before the end of his life, before they went and entered into the land of Israel. And Moshe said, these are the instructions before the end of my life. Pasuk Beis, here we go. You're going to make some mistakes. Sometimes you're going to do the right thing, you're going to get blessed. Sometimes you're going to do the wrong thing, and Nebuch, you're going to get cursed. And here comes Pasuk Beis. Don't ever forget this Pasuk. It's wonderful to hear. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. You will return to Hashem your God. Vishamata vikolo. And you will heed His voice. Kichol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. Atov anecha b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. Elsewhere the Torah tells us, ki adati, I know this. Acharei Mosi, says Moshe, acharei Mosi ki ashkes tashkisun v'sartem min aderech, and you're going to go off the path. But there's such a thing in the Torah called tshuva. Now, is tshuva a mitzvah? Is it one of Taryag? That's actually a machlokes of Rishonim. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban is not so sure. Is it just a prerequisite? Is it something we understand exists as a concept in Judaism? Or is it literally one of the 613 mitzvahs? But boys, I'm here to tell you, if you think Torah's hard, if you think going through this process of self-reflection is hard, if you think it's hard to be perfect, if you think it's hard to be right on all the time, the Torah doesn't expect it. V'shavtar Hashem Elokecha. But it does expect that when we make a mistake, that we do take some time to look inside ourselves, that we do take some time to think about it, and we do take some time to try and improve. The Torah knows that we're going to make mistakes. It's our job at this time of year to try and get back on track. And how are we going to do that? There are two keys, I believe, for us to succeed in order for us to get back on track during this teshuva season? Number one. Number one. It seems big. It seems hard. It's all aspects of our personality. It's 613 mitzvos. It's overwhelming. It's too much to think about all at once. See, here's a free piece of advice. It's worth more than you're paying for it, guys. Break it down into manageable pieces. Bite-sized pieces. One thing at a time. Each one of us can identify within our behavior an area that we would like to work on. Whether it's something to do with the way we speak, something to do with foods we eat or the way we eat, the way we talk, whether it's something to do with the way we use our hands, the way we use our feet. Is it something about a positive mitzvah like davening or learning that we want to improve that we've been missing out on and we want to take better part of? Whether it's something wrong that we've been doing or watching or speaking that we want to reduce our involvement in those kinds of behaviors? You don't have to make the big list and say, I'm going to tackle all of them all at once this year right now. You can pick and choose one or two things, one or two aspects of your personality, one or two aspects of your behavior traits, and say, this is what I'm going to do. Pick one area, one mitzvah, one midah to work on. And I want to suggest some really good advice that a professor of mine once gave me. He was talking really about how to be a good teacher, how to be a good Rebbe. Work to the strength and remediate the weakness. Don't find what you're worst at and focus on it all the time because it's going to make you feel really bad. It's going to bring you down. But rather, what should you do? Find something you're really good at doing. If you're great at davening, then focus on being great at davening. If you're terrific at coming on time to shul, then make sure you're on time to shul 3 times a day. And build your daily activities around that. And while you're building and working on that strength, remember to remediate the weakness. Okay, I'm very good at getting to shul on time. I'm not as good at saying all the words. I'm very good at getting to shul and davening. I'm not always remembering to make a bracha before I eat. Work to the strength. Build on your strength. Remediate the weakness. That's the way you break it down into manageable parts. And the second thing I want to suggest is to remember that you need to have stick-to-itiveness. You got to stick to it. It takes a lot of focus. You have to try and remember every day to chip away a little bit at a time. It's not going to be all at once. It's not going to be instantaneous. Every day, one idea. Every day, 1 hour. Every day, one midah. Each opportunity can be an opportunity to move forward. If you miss out on one, don't get too down on it. Tomorrow will be another opportunity. If you're working on improving bracha, wearing tzitzis, learning Torah, and this particular shiur you missed or you didn't learn as well, okay, it's a shame. Tomorrow you'll learn better. If this time you fail to make a bracha, you forget to bench, it's a shame. Tomorrow you'll do better. You have to make sure that you build on the strength while you're remediating the weakness. I want to conclude, I want to close with a focus on a different pasuk, a little bit later in tomorrow's parsha as well. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look a little later, go to Shishi in the parsha. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues in describing to the Jewish people, and he says something very unusual. And Moshe says, Ki ha-mitzvah azos, asher nochi mitzvah eskem, this mitzvah, which I am commanding you hayom today, it's not too hard for you. It's not too far from you. It's not up in heaven. Lemor, Who's going to go to heaven and teach it to us so that we can do it? And it's not across the sea. Who's going to cross the sea? So that we can hear it and do it. Rather, it's very nearby. So it's within your ability, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart to do it. Moshe Targan raised the following question. What's going on here? Here's the point. You can do it. You can do it. Four words. You can do it. It's doable. Why is the Torah taking so much time to say four words? You can do it. Lo bashamayim, lo me'ever layami. It's not in the heaven. It's not across the sea. What's with the whole explanation? You know, it sounds like Moshe's protesting too much. It sounds like Moshe is going on and on and on because really, the message is, it really is impossible. It really is too much. It really is overwhelming. It really is too hard. So there's a beautiful medrash I want to share with you. There's two guys walking along and they're really hungry. They're really, really hungry. And they walk into this room, they go to the Chadar Ochel, thinking they're going to be able to eat, because that's where the food is. And they walk in, and it's a very large, beautiful room, and they look at the ceiling, and hanging from the ceiling, very high up on the ceiling, is beautiful platters filled with all kinds of delicious things to eat. So the one guy looks up and says, "Ah, man, now I'm going to starve. Look, it's so high up on the ceiling. Who could get it down? There's no way I can get it." And he figures he's just going to go hungry. And the other guy looks at him and says, "You know, somebody figured out a way to get up there to hang the food. There must be a way for us to get up there and take it down. Ki karove lecha hadavar ma'od," says Moshe Rabbeinu. You think this is a long process? You think that this mitzvah, and according to many Rishonim, not everybody, it's talking about tshuva. You think tshuva's hard? I'm telling you, karove lecha hadavar ma'od. Lo bashamayim hi. You can do it. The question is, boys, which guy are you? Are you the guy who comes in and says, "Well, gee, that looks like it's too high. That's a shame. I guess I'm going hungry today." Or rather, are we going to be the one who looks up and says, "If somebody figured out how to get it up there, then it must be possible for me to get there and get it down." Shabbat shalom. I didn't close it.